When I, a poor lost sinner, before the Lord did fall, and in the name of Jesus for pardon loud did call, he heard my supplication, and soon the weak was strong. Oh, Jesus took my burden, and he left me with the song. Yes, Jesus took my burden, I could no longer bear. Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fears subsided, my spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden, and he left me with a song. Oft times the way is dreary, and rugged seems the road. Oft times I'm weak and weary, when bent beneath some load. But when I cry in weakness, how long, O Lord, how long? Then Jesus takes my burden and he leaves me with a song. When I was crushed with sorrow, I bowed in deep despair. My load of grief and heartache seemed more than I could bear. 'Twas then I heard a whisper, you to the Lord belong. Then Jesus took my burden and he left me with a song. I'll trust him for the future, he knoweth all the way. For with his eye he'll guide me along life's pilgrim way. And I will tell in heaven while ages roll along how Jesus took my burden and he left me with a song. Yes, Jesus took my burden, I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fears subsided, my spirit was made strong. For Jesus took my burden and he left me with a song. I'll trust him for the future, he knoweth all my way. For with his eye he'll guide me along life's pilgrim way. I will tell in heaven while ages roll along how Jesus took my burden and he left me with a song.
He has surely done it for us. Let us turn this morning to the book of Jude. Just one little chapter here, but a powerful chapter it is. Book of Jude. And we shall begin with verse 1. Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ, and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ, and called, mercy unto you, and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Then if you'll go down to verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I want to speak today on building up our faith. That comes from verse 20, where Jude exhorts these saints, you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. I want to notice the exact context of this little book. We find out in these first three verses that Jude was all stirred up, so to speak. He had a great desire. He was very passionate about the matter, going to write about the common salvation. Something that was very real to him, something indeed that he had witnessed firsthand and he was so very excited about. We're not told all the reasons as to why that was true, but he was ready to proclaim this common salvation. Common salvation includes basically three things. It is believing God unto salvation. Secondly, it means being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in new tongues. And third, it tells us of divine healing. And all of these were very prominent in the early church. Around the days of Pentecost, there's just such a spirit there, and it just happened in so many wonderful ways as people were added to the church, thousands of souls. There were people who were filled with the Holy Ghost and speaking in new tongues. And then there were healings where that just the shadow of Peter and the apostles walking by, people were healed. And so it really is no wonder why that Jude was excited as he was. But we find here that Jude was a man who was subject to the power of the Holy Ghost. And so we read in verse 3, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, then the power of the Holy Ghost changed him." He turned his direction. And he says, "Now it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints." Contending for the faith is far different than the common salvation. We reach way, way beyond into the glorious provisions and the blessings of the Lord when we're talking about the faith. In our world today, men have multiple confidences or assurances or trusts, that which they may call faith in many cases. But we must understand, as the Scripture proclaims loudly, that God recognizes only one faith. And that faith is the faith of the Son of God. This is what Jude is talking about. You need to contend, earnestly contend, for the faith of the Son of God. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 16:13, "Stand fast in the faith, only one." And so that is the faith that Jude means. It's this overall faith, or this overall belief, this overall trust, this overall assurance of all of these wonderful provisions and blessings that are found in this marvelous message of divine grace. And so Jude announces that he wants them to earnestly contend for the faith. Now, the reason for that is given in verses 4 to 19. And that is because that there are so many examples. He presents so many examples of unbelief here, which raise great opposition in our day. These words in Jude especially apply to these last days. And we need to understand the opposition, the tremendous unbelief that is going on in our world today, and indeed how to resist it. That's exactly what Jude is talking about here. You must earnestly contend for the faith in order to battle against all of these things here in verses 4 on down to verse 19. We're not going into those things. I just want to notice today what we are to do about it. We cannot just sit idly by and just act like it is not there. And so Jude outlines all of those tremendous messages, and they go back even to the beginning of time, of people who are against the Word of God, who are against the faith of God. And so we pick up our story now in verse 20, "But you, beloved." The little word "but" indicates that Jude says, there is a change. You don't have to follow the path that is listed on down through verse 19. You don't have to follow along that same pattern and go along with the crowd. And so, "But you, beloved, and building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." I want to see that Jude gives us five specific admonitions, exhortations, of how to earnestly contend for the faith. We must understand that in our day, because those days are indeed upon us. And it is so important that we earnestly contend for the faith. Now, the first thing I want to say about that is that this doesn't mean we're going to go out and we're going to turn the tide of unbelief that is in this world. That's not going to happen. The falling away is here. The falling away is going to get worse. It is going to culminate with the revelation of the man of sin, there as we see in 2 Thessalonians. And so we're not going to turn that around. Don't let people think, don't let anyone tell us that if we get enough people out there, if we pray long enough and hard enough and fall on our knees before God, that we'll bring in a revival. It's not going to happen. But the contending for the faith is for our own personal experience. We are standing before God as those who will believe God in the midst of a very devastating and difficult time. And so there are five wonderful things that Jude tells us that must be implemented in our own lives and experience. And the first one here, as we read, "But you, beloved," it is important for us to realize that we really are the beloved of the Lord. Now, I'm sure that Jude was writing this from his own point of view, that he was telling the saints that he loved them, but there's something far different here, something far deeper here. It is you and I. Yes, we appreciate the love of other people. Believe me, we do. But we are those who must understand that we are loved by God. We must see that. We must appreciate it. We must lay hold of that, that we are beloved of the Lord. We are very aware that God loves the world. John 3:16, we learned it early, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. But let us understand that God wants to love me on a very personal level, and that God's love for his people surpasses his love for the world. I think sometimes people don't understand that. I've almost heard it that God loves the sinner more than the saint, and that's not so. We find out that we must understand the very depths of divine love. And God does love some people more than others. Do you know why? Because they will let him. Every person will not let God love him to the nth degree, so to speak. We must be of that group who opens our hearts wide unto the love of God so that we become channels of divine love. God is able to love me, and it is so important that we have that assurance. If we are going to earnestly contend for the faith, we must be assured in my own life of the love of God. I talked with a woman some years ago who was so distraught because her son just could not believe, a Christian saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, but could not believe that God would love him. That's a sad state to be in. We must be of those who reach out and open our hearts to the love of God that he might love us. There is different levels of love for Christians. There's no two ways about that. John, it is said, he was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And someone said, well, that's not right. He loved them all. Yes, he did. But did all the disciples open themselves up to the love of Jesus the way that John did? Did all of the disciples lay their head on Jesus' breast the way that John did? Did all of the disciples receive Jesus' most priceless possession, his mother Mary? Did all of the disciples receive that wonderful book of Revelation the way that John did? It's because of the special love that there was between John and Jesus. I enjoyed reading not long ago, as we had in some of these messages, in Daniel 9 and 10. Three times Daniel is told he was greatly beloved. This was so needful for Daniel. He was in a hostile and a foreign land, taken out of his own country as a captive. And yet this man still continued to believe God. even though that the answers that he prayed for were long in coming, here's a man that really did contend for the faith. He still believed God that he was going to do something and show him something. And the Lord did, and he addressed him again three times, greatly beloved. Thought of the Church of Philadelphia, a very special assembly, an elite assembly. Nothing said against them. We don't read in the Smyrna Church or the Philadelphia Church, repent or else. They were a very select group. And one of the things that was said to the Philadelphian church is that I will come, will make them, that is of the synagogue of Satan, to come and worship before thy feet and then to know that I have loved thee. This again is a special love that there was between Jesus and this church here at Philadelphia. And so these believers that to whom Jude was writing seem to be those, again, who were beloved. They had this special place and indeed understood that. Then the second thing we see about them, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Building up yourselves. It is important to realize here that the reference to self does not mean self-centered, self-effort, self-sufficiency, self-contained. It does not mean that things are just revolving around this certain person at all. When he says building up yourselves, he is rather telling them that they must give a personal attention, take a personal responsibility to contending for the faith, of being built up in the faith. The fact of the matter is this. It has to be a personal faith, or it's no faith at all. In other words, no one else can accept Christ for me. I can't accept Jesus for you, and you can't accept him for me. No one can be filled with the Holy Ghost for me. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. We had a couple come to the Bible school quite a number of years ago. We were way back on 406 South Gladstone. And they came, and she was filled with the power of the Holy Ghost not very long after they got to the Bible school. Well, he informed us one day in the testimony meeting that because his wife got filled, and since they were married and they were one, that meant he was filled too. No, it didn't. It's personal. You see, you can't have that faith for someone else, nor can they have it for you. And so Jude is talking about bearing a personal responsibility in this matter of faith and indeed taking it unto ourselves. Paul describes the fact that we can be an influence on other people, and we should and we must. Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 1:24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but we are helpers of your joy. And then he says, by faith you stand. You must stand in the faith that you pursue, in the faith that you lay hold of and appropriate as your own. Yes, we can be and should be helpers of joy, encouraging one another every time we can. But it is by faith, by the individual faith of each believer, that we stand. And so, building up of yourselves means that we must take hold. We must take the steps to accomplish it. We must assume that responsibility for my own life, that I am going to be built up in the faith. And so we read the third one, build up your most holy faith. Paul mentions this same truth. We'll not turn there, but you remember the verse well, Acts 20:32. Paul said, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified." The building up requires the tools to do it. There's no way we can achieve such a thing by our own wishful thinking, by our own willpower, anything of this nature. And we don't have to. And so Paul says, "I commend you to God and to the word of his grace." The word of his grace is simply another avenue of the faith. There are many of them. It is just inexhaustible, the faith that God has given unto us. And this tells us the glorious spirit of that faith. Sometimes we wonder what Bible that certain people have been reading and claiming to know and to practice and to feel the grace of God, because some are so judgmental and so harsh. Jesus had to reprimand the disciples for that. You know not what spirit you are of. Paul commends us to the word of his grace. But the key here is the word. And this is where that every person has to make it his own personal responsibility, his own desire, indeed, to lay hold of the word of his grace. And so as Jude tells us here, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. We also find in this, here in Acts 20:32, where he says, it is able to build you up and then to give you an inheritance. We're going to see that same pattern here in a little while, because that's what he does. He builds us up. It also gives to us an inheritance that we can have indeed for eternity. And so the fact of the matter is, being built up, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, is impossible without the Word of God. There is no way that any person is truly going to be built up without the Word of his grace, the Word of faith. And we alone make that decision to pursue this avenue. I can tell you it demands effort on our part in order to appropriate, in order to lay hold and claim this message for our own. And then the fourth one comes along, the fourth exhortation that Jude gives. He says, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And it is so important that we understand this does not mean spending hours in prayer and pleading that God will just dump great amounts of faith into our lives. We are talking about a way of life. We're talking about the faith here. The closest example to such a prayer would be the father. You may remember it there in the book of Mark, where he had a very sick child. And Jesus said, if you believe, all things are possible. And he said this, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And that is a tremendous prayer for us. But the key is faith. The key is, do we believe? I know there are many that think in our world that you can fast and pray and go through all sorts of things in order to get faith. But the scripture tells a different story. There are times when, as Jesus said, prayer, fasting, things of this nature are most assuredly needed. And many have experienced that down through the years. But let us never forget Romans 10:17. It says this, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This follows right in line with the last point that we had of being built up by the word of his grace. Being built up in the faith. It does not happen without the Word of God. We find wonderful examples of this on display. They're throughout the Scripture, but some of the more prominent ones. You go back to Genesis 12, you read this. God had said, that is to Abram, get thee out of thy country. And then you read down the next few verses, we read, Abraham departed. It means that he departed on the basis of simply believing what God had said. It was indeed departing, an expression of his faith because of what God had already said. We read again, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. The same patterns in our lives. Abraham didn't work. He didn't toil. He didn't do anything. He didn't go through all of these contortions. The only thing that he did to get righteous was believe God. That's the power of faith. That's why we contend for the faith, because it is so powerful in our lives when we do. Hebrews 11:7 says it this way, by faith Noah, being warned of God, and that's all he had is God's warning, God's word, of things not seen as yet. He meant rain. It had never rained on the earth at that time, but God said it was going to, and Noah was foolish enough to believe that God meant what he said. This is what our job is to do. This is our mission today, is to believe what God says, regardless of what men may think about the matter. And so, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, he moved with fear. He acted on it. In other words, he exercised this faith in what he had heard of the Word of God, and he prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world. And notice, he became the heir of the righteousness which is by faith. It's because he believed that he received this righteousness, and he did what he did. So how and what does Jude mean when he said, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost? Let us turn to John 16. There is a specific reason as to why Jude recorded it the way he did. We will never receive the faith we are looking for. We will never earnestly contend for the faith without this operation of the power of the Holy Ghost in our lives. And so in John 16 and verse 13, we read this. Jesus was getting ready to go away, and he says in the 13th verse, John 16:13, howbeit when he, that is the power of the Holy Ghost, and notice what the Holy Ghost is called, the Spirit of Truth. He has this very close, intimate association, relationship with the Word of God. When he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. This is what we mean praying in the Holy Ghost. Praying that the Holy Ghost would give me understanding, that the Holy Ghost would lead me into this truth in a very practical manner. He will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father has are mine. All of those things are that which is in the faith. It includes all of them. It is so extensive, and it is so inexhaustible. These are the all things that the Holy Ghost would show us in this way of the faith. And so all things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. This is our prayer, praying in the Holy Ghost, that we receive this faith, the faith of which Jude speaks. And then finally, the last one, number 5, let us go back to the book of Jude and verse 24. There are some more wonderful expressions and instruction for us in these intervening verses, but I want to go down to verse 24, where we see this glorious admonition that Jude gives. Verse 24, now unto him. This is the object of faith. We may think there are many things that we would love to have and that come to us as a result of faith. But the object of faith is God, unto him. I don't care what we're looking for or what we're wanting or what we're needing, the object here is God himself. He is the object of the faith. And so we read, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. God is the object of faith. You remember the verse well, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. As I thought on this wonderful portion here, and there are just depths in Hebrews 11:6 that I'm sure have not even been plumbed yet, but we read that without faith it is impossible to please him. Let us understand there are varying degrees of pleasing God. A little faith brings him, of course, a little pleasure. Great faith would bring him great pleasure. We must be of those in contending for the faith that we want to bring God the most pleasure that we possibly can. And every time that we contend for the faith, every time that we believe God, we may get what we want. We may not always get exactly what we want every time, but the faith is in him. He knows exactly what he's doing. And when we take hold and we believe that, beloved, we are pleasing God. So without faith, it is impossible to please him. Then I want to notice we had this a few weeks ago from Habakkuk 2:4. The just, it means the justified or the righteous, shall live by his faith. This again is that faith that he has appropriated. It is the faith, but he has appropriated. He has made it his own. Paul quotes from that, Hebrews 10:38, same truth, the just shall live by faith. When it says the just shall live by faith, it means that that faith is not sporadic, it's not temporary, it's not just on certain occasions. When you live day by day by day by day. Contending for the faith is a daily exercise. We don't do it one time and when this situation arises, we'll contend for the faith. No, contending for the faith is absolutely a day and night. Exactly as we live, we don't live part of the day and then cease to live the next part of the day. The just shall live by faith. It is a constant and a continual experience. And so our lives must be a continual exercise of such a faith. And then you will notice, this is again, as we have found, God is the object of the faith. Therefore, only God will be glorified. He will be the one who will receive such glory. And so Jude says, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power. It is all directed toward him. Now, we know that we're going to share in that glory, but the primary glory must be for God. Now, one more point I want to make in closing, back up to verse 24. unto him that is able to keep you from falling. What a glorious blessing that is. I know of people that almost sleep with one eye open because they're so fearful of something going wrong or doing wrong. When we believe God, the responsibility is not on me. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling. If you will simply believe God, you won't fall. And so unto him that is able to keep you from falling. But it gets better. He doesn't just keep us from falling off the precipice, so to speak. Notice what else he does. Unto him that is able to present you faultless. It's wonderful to know that you're not going to fall. But it's even more wonderful to realize on the positive note that he will present you faultless, blameless, exactly the way the Smyrna saints were, exactly the way the Philadelphian saints were. When we earnestly contend for the faith and follow this pattern that Jude has laid out for us, then that can be my story. He will present me faultless before the throne of God. There are those in our world who will argue that, but I had much rather just believe what the Scripture said. And it says that he will present you faultless. Do we dare to believe that? I do.